Ethiopia on a pretty regular basis. And next Sunday, we've invited Erin to share with us what she is doing in Ethiopia. She's a veterinarian, very skilled young lady, lover of God. So she'll be sharing for a little bit next Sunday. So keep that in mind as well. And she wants to share this more with some other churches, and she's never done that before. So if you think about it this week, just pray for Erin and the preparation, you know, because she just wants to let us know what God is doing in Ethiopia and through her particular outreach. So, excuse me, you've noticed, okay. Some of you have understood this teaching before and you remember the Greek word. We'll get to it in a little bit. It's very pointed and purposeful. In our home, until the day of iPhoto, we had photo albums. You remember those things? You know, every now and then they get a little old and crusty and the pictures fall out, right? Those photo albums, you pick off the shelf and you can start looking through. And for those that haven't been there, that was you back then, wasn't it? Oh, look at how small the kids were. And, you know, but for those of us that were there, what do we see? What's that?
How young we were.
Oh, in some cases, absolutely. Whoa, what went wrong there?
Memories.
Of?
Shared experiences of life.
The 3x5 picture is just a little bit limited.
We remember the whole scene.
For whoever was there, it's like, here's the whole scene. You know, so many times I've picked up magazines like the National Geographic, and I usually don't read the words. I'm usually the guy that's looking at the pictures, you know. And when you get one of those trifold, it opens up so much more. You've been there, you know what I'm talking about, right? And then you read the caption. And if so, the story. John took some photographs and put them down with words. John's photography to us, I wish it could be at least a 3x5 to see it with my eyes, but it's fully in description. But there's something else he describes here, something that is quite amazing, and that is what he hears. And what I would like to walk through this morning is we're in this portion of Revelation. It starts in chapter 4, and we're going into chapter 5, and it does continue on. But what I want to look at this morning is to listen to what John hears as he relates to us what he sees. Because we're going to be hearing praises, I believe, astounding to John. Seeing sights that, 2 Corinthians 12, hearing things that a man is not permitted to speak is how Paul worded it. But John was permitted here. He said, I saw this and then this added to it and then this added to it, and it got bigger and bigger, if we can say, up into a crescendo. I mean, try to hear it this morning. That's where my heart is. Try to hear it this morning as you read through this. It's so easy for us to just kind of flip through the photographs. Ho-hum. Oh, there's a familiar thing. Ho-hum, next page. John wants us to live in it. To experience it, even in its smallness right now. So that we're looking forward to being there. Not only seeing a panorama, but seeing a 360 degree experience with the living God. Chapter 4. After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. So now John's all alone, but then he wasn't. A door that beckoned him. The first voice, which I had heard like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me, said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after these things. Immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was standing in heaven, and one sitting on that throne. As we were kind of challenged last week, think bigger than just you know, a chair with arm sides on it and a couple of lions out front. Think bigger than that, except I don't know how to do that. It can only be described as a throne because it was a place of authority, absolutely. And the one sitting on it, he started with that visual description. That one was like a jasper stone and a sardius. And there was a halo around the throne like an emerald. And as I've been sharing last few weeks, your Bible might say rainbow, because the same Greek word goes either direction. If it was a rainbow, then its brilliance was like the brilliance of an emerald. If it was a halo, then it was emerald green, probably beyond any comparison. And I shared this with you last week. I want to drive it again. God has given us little emeralds here, I believe, so that we can have a mind toward what is coming. Little jaspers to look at here. Little color here. So we can have an imagination that just explodes with a longing to be there. One day in your courts. Better than 1,000 anywhere else, the psalmist said. Wow. But that one was like jasper and a sardius combination. By the way, one is opaque, one is transparent. One you can only see on the outside, the other color emanates. What did John see? The rainbow or halo around the throne like an emerald in appearance. And then John says, I saw around the throne, so the picture gets a little bit bigger, 24 thrones. And upon the thrones, 24 elders sitting, clothed in white garments, righteousness of God, and golden crowns on their heads. I believe not something they have earned, but something that they've been appointed. A place of ruling, of reigning, of giving judgment, of giving direction. And then John says, from the throne proceeded flashes of lightning. We've all experienced that. And sounds and peals of thunder. So the sounds were different than the thunder. In coordination with the lightning, I mean, what was going on here? Something that got his attention, absolutely, and he wants us to be grabbed also. And there were seven lamps. Not lampstand, a lampstand is seven lamps. The lampstands he saw in chapter 1 may be a little different. This is like those individual lamps that are before God. The lampstand that we see in Zechariah, the lampstand we see in Exodus that Moses was to make for the tabernacle. It was seven individual cups, one in the middle and three on either side. And it seems like that's the appearance in chapter 1. And those lampstands are the churches of which Jesus was walking in the midst of. But this, flash of lightning, sounds and peals of thunder, and seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And he stops right there and leaves me hanging. What do you mean? Well, in the appearance of that throne room, whatever that throne was really like in the book of Ezekiel, it's like lapis lazuli, deep, rich, deep, deep blue. And seeing as it were a rainbow, Ezekiel says. Now John adds to it what he saw. Others, we read those descriptions a few weeks ago. Then the elders sitting there, clothed in white robes with golden crowns on their head. And then the lamps, seven of them around the throne. Seven typically is a number of completion. And here's the Spirit of God. Is it talking about him omnipresent? Some have guessed that. But John's just not telling us. He's just saying, here's what I saw. Seven lamps, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal. My imagination wants to go into it. You know, what is that like as it expands out further and further? And in the center, or in the midst, and around the throne. How do you have something in the middle of and around if it's like just a linear object? This is different. This is a different sort of thing. There were four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. four living creatures in the center of the throne, but that's where this one is sitting, and around the throne. What was he seeing? Somehow, you know, I'm real limited. We are real limited here on this planet. We are so limited in a linear sort of fashion. Even our time is that way. From one moment to the next, the clock ticks. But this is like there was stuff happening all at the same time that opened up a different dimension. Catch it. Enjoy it. Four living creatures. The first creature was like a lion. Please understand the word like is very, very important here. We don't have a lion standing there. But the closest thing he could describe it as was like a lion. Eyes in front and all around and behind. What an odd scene. Really? Eyeballs? Did he see eyeballs? Or was it somehow an ability to see in any direction and every direction? John stayed pretty simple in the description, but wish he would have added just a little bit more. The first like a lion, the second like a calf. The third creature had the face like that of a man. And the fourth creature was like a flying eagle. And that's all. Until later on in the book, the four living creatures are there again. And then again. And then again. And John does not give a comment about them. Similar to Ezekiel's four creatures he saw, the difference is these have six wings, Ezekiel's had four. Are they different than Ezekiel's four? Was John allowed to see something else? Were their wings something that really attached to them? Or was there something going on in a different dimension? He can only say it was like wings. I don't know. Verse 8, and the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around. He repeats it. He's amazed by this. Full of eyes around and within. Again, different dimension here. I can kind of start picturing eyeballs all around, but now eyes within. How'd John see that? He was allowed to get a glimpse and take this kind of a photograph for us, for our benefit, for any who will read this. And that is why he says, blessed are those that read, listen, and take heed to the things that are written in it. Get this picture of the throne room of God. And day and night, they do not cease to say, okay, is that saying there's a day and a night there? Sun goes down, moon comes up. I don't think so. I didn't think it's an idiom saying continuously without fail, day and night. They do not stop saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come, talking about him who ever is, joining himself into what is kind of linear, and that is our little created world here. He was and was ever. He is and is ever. He always will be. And they don't stop saying, holy, holy, holy. What did Isaiah describe that he saw? Like cherubim speaking out, holy, holy, holy about this God. And then one would answer from the other side, holy, holy, holy. You can read about that in the first part of Isaiah 6. Is the Lord God, Yahweh, the Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come. Okay, John, doors open, he sees what he sees, and he sees these four creatures, and they don't stop saying, holy, holy, holy. Around them are 24 elders. Verse 9, and when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks, and they are doing that by saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come. They are giving glory, they're giving honor, they're giving thanks to him who sits on the throne, and to him who lives forever and ever. And I want to point out to you, John uses these two phrases twice in the same sentence. There's an emphasis. To him who sits on the throne, John was amazed by that. To him who lives forever and ever. When the creatures did that, verse 10, the 24 elders will fall down. He sees them apparently doing that, maybe even in motion. Each time they say it, they're falling down. They're coming before him off of their throne, it seems to say. And will worship him who lives forever and ever. And will cast their crowns before the throne. So the 24 elders will fall down before him who sits on the throne, will worship him who lives forever and ever, and will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy thou art." Worthy art thou, our English words. O Lord, our God, worthy to receive glory, honor, and power. As they are throwing their crowns before him, their sign, their symbol for our sake of their ruling position, it's him, really. Worthy art thou, O our Lord and our God, to receive glory, honor, power, for thou didst create all things. And because of thy will, they existed. They simply were, and they were created. We've got to talk about this little object lesson up front, because this is the word worthy. Some of you are aware of this. You've seen this before. You've heard this teaching before. When the word worthy is used in our Bible, it is the word axios. The word axios, Greek word, means to bring up the beam. Well, the beam just went down as I placed more weight on the right side to you. Walk in a manner worthy means this is what God has done for you. Now, walk it out and bring up the beam. So that crossbeam comes up. In these 24 elders, relating with these four created living creatures, saying, "Worthy art thou," all direction goes to him who sits on the throne. All glory and honor and praise goes to him who sits on the throne. Away from them, out of them comes calls of worship, of worthiness. He is the one that is worthy to receive all glory and honor and praise. Let's go into chapter 5, because this scene gets bigger. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a book. More likely a scroll. The bound book, like we know a book today, didn't really start happening until the 2nd century or so A.D. Before that, it was scrolls. As one author said, maybe slightly in the 1st century, but it's probably a scroll. Because with the seals on this scroll, it makes a whole lot more sense that something is rolled up and sealed rather than a bound book. But one way or the other, I saw this in his right hand, and that scroll was sealed up with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy?" And the response is, "There is no one that can bring up the beam." No one is worthy to deal with what has to be dealt with. The strong angel proclaimed with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven, that would include the 4 living creatures, that would include the 24 elders, that would include every other created being in heaven, no one in heaven, or on earth, no matter how worthy one might think themselves to be when they look in that mirror and are very impressed, no one on earth could bring up the beam so as to be worthy to break these seals. Or under the earth, presumably those that have been buried, those that have lived life, was able to open the book or to look into it. And it was so troubling to John that John said, "And I began to weep greatly." There is something precious in the hand of him who sits on the throne. It's to be known. It's to be unraveled. It's to be revealed. And nobody could open it. I began to weep greatly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders, so one of the 24, presumably, one of the elders said to me, "Stop weeping. Behold, look, the lion," not the lion of the four living creatures, because that one was just like a lion. We'll talk a bit more about this lion, God willing, next week. But the lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome so as to open the book. He did something that brought up the beam that no one else could do. And therefore has earned the right, the privilege, the authority to open up those seals, to open up that scroll. The lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome. Now in chapter 2 and 3, to each of the letters of the church, it ends it with, "To him who overcomes, he'll receive this, he'll receive that. I'll grant him to sit with me on my throne," for instance. To him who overcomes. This one is the overcomer. Olivia, you had a question?
My book actually says the lamb. So I'm guessing since yours says the lion, this one says the lamb. I'm guessing it's a representation of Jesus Christ.
Let's keep moving. You're a good guesser. Behold the lion that is from the tribe of Judah. The root of David has overcome so as to open the scroll and its seven seals. And I saw in the midst of the throne, in the middle of it, with the four living creatures and the elders, a lamb standing as if slain. A slain lamb does not stand. What is it about this lamb that's different? Full of life, resurrected, but having the evidence of the sacrifice. As if slain, having seven horns and seven eyes. And the seven eyes are the seven spirits of God sent into all the earth. John, help me out here, boss. The seven lamps before God are the seven spirits of God. The seven eyes on the Lamb are the seven spirits of God. And he doesn't explain it. He just puts it. Okay, I'm with you, John. I'm looking at the photo. You were there, but I'm looking at the photo here. The seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. The Lamb, he, verse 7, came and took it out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken this, I'm going to read scroll, the four living creatures, here we are to our audible part, let the volume get turned up, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having each one a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. So we have harp music accompanying their voices because verse 9, they sang a new song. Not the same old, same old. This is apparently something that is full of vibrant, existent life. A song that is fully able to express what is to be expressed of this living God. A new song. Saying, here we are, axios, worthy art thou, you've earned it, You are the authority, and you are the only one. Worthy art thou to take the scroll and to break its seals. Now the chorus is growing. For thou wast slain. Ah, what happened to bring up that beam? You were sacrificed. Here's the lamb standing as if slain. What did you do to overcome? What did you do to bring up that beam? For you were slain. And presumably because of the slaying, didst purchase for God, paid the price for God with thy blood, men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. It does not say all men from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation, but rather individuals from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Hallelujah. God is not prejudiced. Not one little tiny bit. Amen, Cliff, to your prayer earlier. They are as loved by God as us. And God is there in full. No matter the nation they come from. A people group that is completely full of violence and hatred toward other people. I believe as people within it who are God-loving people. Worthy art thou because you purchased with your blood men from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. And thou hast made them to be together to be a kingdom and priest to our God, to worship Him, to serve Him, to obey Him, to do His will. Kingdom and priest to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. And I looked and heard the voice of many angels around the throne. So now it gets even bigger. He's looking, but he's hearing not just four living creatures, not just a couple of cherubim, not just the 24 elders. But I looked and I heard many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders. And the number of them was myriads of myriads. Well, give me a definition. What's a myriad?
Uncountable.
A whole bunch. Uncountable is accurate. But it's not just myriads of them. Watch this. It's myriads of myriads. Uncountable. And the number of the uncountable groups called myriads is uncountable. And thousands, not just thousands, but thousands of thousands. Clusters of thousands and thousands of those clusters. Okay, John is getting very impressed. He said, and I heard them. Apparently his eyes were open to see, and he described and he told us what he heard with the living creatures and the elders. What were they doing? Verse 12, they were saying with a loud voice, penetrating truth. In fact, maybe all that took up heaven itself was just filled with this sound. Worthy. Here it is again. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Do you think John started covering up his ears? It was too loud. I'm thinking it was penetrating him. Almost as if in that moment he was becoming part of that. That's what I'm envisioning. These words, but they're more than words. It's truth. It's life that was lived and life that is present because he has done it. All of creation should be focusing at this point. Let's think back for a moment. Let's think back for a moment. I read it just yesterday in my personal reading. Jesus, on his way up to Jerusalem, on a donkey, voices from the crowd were saying what? Hosanna. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Pharisees and religious people rebuked Jesus and said what? Tell them to stop. You hear what they're saying? What was Jesus' response? If they stop, and I believe it was at this moment that he was going up to be slain to bring up the beam. If they stop at this moment, the stones themselves will cry out. Whoa. Now we're past that point, and John gets to step into heaven for a minute and hear all of this and understands it's not just about Jesus' opinions. It's not just trying to have a better life by following what he said to do. It is him. His blood purchased us. His blood gives us new life. I am born again by believing in him. And creation in heaven itself, some of those are angelic beings that didn't have to have, you know, redemption like mankind does. Calling out worthy as if to say, and it's implied, only thou art worthy. Wow. Okay, now myriads of myriads. Thousands of thousands joining in that chorus. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, might, and honor, and glory, and blessing. 13. It gets bigger. And every created thing which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them, everything in the sea. Okay. I heard saying to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. I am one that takes Jesus' words literally. Creation itself has a voice. And in that instance, that voice would have screamed out, no, he alone is the one that is coming in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. I am one that believes that created beings, that we in our little thinking, those things swimming around in the ocean, those things planted out here around us, all creation itself joining in this chorus with the myriads of myriads, with the 24 elders, with the four living creatures, and him who sits on that throne, and to the Lamb. The voice that comes out, Psalm 19 talks about that voice just a little bit, do you remember? It says, they're screaming out the praises of God. And then it says, not that they have a voice, but they do. Listen and look. The heavens declare the glory of God. Well, there's coming a time, and John got to step into it for a moment and told us about it. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be blessing and honor and glory and dominion. No one is overcoming him. Nothing is overcoming him. And even though Satan claimed that he will be like the Most High, it's not happening. Full dominion forever and ever, because he is forever and ever. Why all of creation? Last chapter said, for his will, for his good pleasure, they were created. All of it is to look at it really, to look at it honestly, whatever there is in creation, is to see the perfect design of a perfect God. And now John gets to experience this. Well, don't put the photograph album down too quick. Go back and just bask in it with him. And then the four living creatures came alive again. Well, I use that phrase real loosely. They were heard again saying, amen. What does amen mean?
We agree.
We agree. So be it. This is true. The chorus is going. Now, before they were part of the chorus. Now they just keep saying, amen, 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 amen. Okay, so here we are in our little bitty spot here on this planet, singing praises. We have the opportunity to sing praises together to this same God. And our vision of Him is very little. He wants our vision to get bigger. He wants our vision of Him to expand beyond time of this moment. But for us to join in at this moment, all hail King Jesus. All praise, all glory, all honor. Notice throughout these passages, there's not a word about bless me, Lord. Give me, give me. It is all attention directed absolutely and only on Him who is worthy. Now we're almost ready to get into the book of Revelation. That's how it starts. And from here out, the Lamb begins pulling back those seals. What Lamb? The only one that is worthy. The one that you'll see through this book is one with the Father on the throne. God. And the four living creatures, they're sitting there saying, amen, amen. Keep going, amen, amen. When they do that, the elders fell down and worshipped. These guys are falling down quite a bit. Three times in two chapters here. A humbleness before Him who is alone worthy. Fell down and worshipped. What did their worship look like? Well, he got to taste it a little bit, chapters 4 and 5. Their worship is all about Him. Let's interact.
One of the interesting things in the prayers in verse 1, the Bible is very detailed when it says about this scroll. The scroll was written on the inside and on the outside, on the inside and outside. And in the ancient world, of course, they didn't have paper like we had. They had this tablet of stuff. And on one side, they polished it, made it smooth so they could write on it. But the other side remained rough. And those kind of scrolls were the title deeds, were used for title deeds, like if you have a piece of property. You would, on one side, you would do the description, and on the other side, there would be the price and all that kind of information. And so this is actually the title deed to earth.
There's some speculation, and that is one of those that has a lot of merit, what this scroll is. I was planning on talking about that a bit next week. That primes our pump really well. I think it is a title deed, but it's even more. I think it's even greater. I do believe it has to do with unfolding judgment on some. We see it coming. And reward for others. Their permanent place with God. It does have to do with a title deed because He is the one in dominion. He is the one in authority. He created all things for His good pleasure. It's not about us. Okay, go ahead.
Purchase price, it talks in later on.
Yes, it does.
He purchased it. You know, out of all the tribes, all the nations, and all the languages, He purchased people. It's not about the physical planet, it's about the people of earth.
Amen. Somebody else.
I think verse 13 is kind of interesting. I never really took notice of this, but in the King James it says, "And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth, and under the earth." So I'm thinking creatures under the earth. Must be talking about gophers and voles and all these. But what's really interesting, and it says, "And such as are in the sea, and all that are in them." So even parasites.
Okay, now I'm not going to build any weird theology from this, but I think it's right to let our imagination just go with the words He's given to us, not try to restrain it. Why keep it little? Did God create those little parasites? Apparently so. I don't know of anything else it can create. Okay, good. Thanks, John.
Let me piggyback on what John was saying. For God so loved the world, in John 3:16, mm-hmm. The word for world is not people groups.
Cosmos.
It's cosmos. It's the entire world system, including under the earth.
Good. Anybody else?
Well, I've been reading Revelations, and I'm very enthralled in it. It's very, very exhilarating. I've never read it before. So it started, here. And when I read that part, I was thinking people in hell, even above the earth, on the earth, in the earth, under the earth. And I immediately thought, even the people in hell.
Turn to Philippians chapter 2 for a moment, please. Thank you, Nancy. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Philippians 2, 9. Therefore also God highly exalted him, Jesus, and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those who are in heaven, and on earth, and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Nancy, by my estimation, it has to include those who did not claim him as Savior, who are condemned to be away from him in hell forever. Somehow, there is an understanding that yes, he is Lord.
And boy, I thought it out.
It's true. It's true. Anybody else? Is it appropriate to go into a communion time? After this passage? Perfect is right on, Michael. Amen.